podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Liverpool have just beaten West Ham United 2-1 at the London Stadium, I believe it's called. It is our third win on the bounce. I'm here with Elliot to discuss it all tonight. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good. Another win for me to discuss. I feel like I'm in dreamland.
We're on a bounce, mate. We're on an absolute bounce right now. But yeah, guys, if you are in here, if you're coming in a bit later, or if you're watching this back on the replay, please make sure you absolutely smash that like button. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. And yeah, we'll get straight into it. So yeah, we all spoke after the Forest game. And we were relatively happy with how we played. We were all relatively happy with the lineup. Made a couple changes today, or was it just the one?
Yeah, just the one, I think it is.
Just the one, yeah. Matip comes in for Konate. And thankfully, Klopp has said that the Konate injury is nothing serious. And I think he said if it was the final day of the season, then he possibly would have played him. It's just one of those things. But Elliot, was you happy with that again?
Yeah, surprise, but more than happy with it, because I thought he may just tinker with it a slightly bit more with maybe Nunes or Thiago, as I said, after the Forest game. But I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing with Matip scoring, but I did question Matip instead of Gomez, just to feel like Gomez having played right back quite frequently could maybe suit that role a bit more, but it didn't seem to faze Matip really in the end.
Absolutely, mate. The game starts off I think they score relatively early, don't they? They score in the 12th minute. Thoughts on the goal, mate? Could have been avoided, could have been better tight, more tight.
It's one of the damage, anyway. Kind of the Van Dijk stands off, and he's been criticised a bit for that this season. Maybe he can, you know, engage quicker. You know, it's about intervening before it gets to Paqueta, but Paqueta has a nice long time on the ball before he gets his shot off. And a little deflection, maybe Alisson could do better. But it's one of them. I don't think it's one where you can go over the top with it, with you know, criticism, or it's just maybe a couple of little tiny errors where you can stop the ball getting to Paqueta and then maybe just engage with Paqueta a bit earlier on. But it's a bit of a fluke as well, isn't it, with a little deflection. So I don't think it's too much to really be concerned about.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And I said to my brother when that goal went in, like, that's now the last three goals we've conceded have all taken deflections, which is really frustrating, because I think most of them were pretty reasonable shots. Alisson probably would have saved them all had they not taken deflections. But it was a sharp goal from West Ham. They were looking good at that moment. And yeah, like you say, could have been avoided. I think, you know, Virgil could have been tighter. But it is what it is. We know how Virgil likes to defend. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I've seen it not work more often than working this season. Big up, Eunice. Big up, mate. Hi, Ben. Paqueta score reminds me of Mount score, Anfield and COVID season. 1-2 round Fabinho and no closing down. Yeah, to be fair, you're spot on. Sometimes I do forget those goals in that season because
That season was a simulation. I think
remember that goal. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, thanks for joining the stream, mate. I hope you're good. But yeah, what did you think of the defense as a whole today? Because Joe Matip did get man of the match. There was a couple times where we were tested. The Jad Bowen offside goal, which, you know, was the correct decision. So you probably just say, okay, it probably just about did the job. What did you think of that back four today, mate?
I mean, I thought it's a difficult one, really, because as you said, the Bowen goal, it's kind of, you can praise them for catching them offside, but then you can also say Van Dijk does not do well, because he doesn't. If that goal, it's a fraction offside, really, and if it stands, people will quite rightly criticise Van Dijk for, again, kind of similar to Paqueta goal, where it's not tight. It's not great. It's not a good look, but look, let me get. I don't want to say the phrase he gets away with it, because the whole high line, Liverpool strong line, kind of going back to when they were so successful under Klopp, is kind of such a, you know, a big thing for them. So don't want to say he got away with one, but he kind of did at the same time. Matip, as I said, Matip was, he looked strong. He looked like he was like a battle and an edge with them all, to be honest, which is again, it's really pleasant to see. And Robertson, I like Robertson in this role. He can get forward, but he can also defend, which is kind of his game in a nutshell as a fullback. So it kind of suits him, I think. I mean, I still think someone will come in, a proper centre half for the role if we persist with it. And then Trent was exceptional today. He was absolutely brilliant. So the back four as a whole, as a defensive unit, I was impressed. To be fair, I think it was nice to see them just, battle and be, passionate. Yeah, it sounds so stupid, but passionate, to see them be so...
Yeah.
Buzzing, you say getting a clearance and stuff like that.
Yeah, you say it sounds stupid, mate, but it absolutely doesn't because, mm-hmm. we'd associate those words that you just said with the Liverpool teams that have been so successful down the years, but the Liverpool team of this season certainly haven't shown it,
no.
They haven't, mm-hmm. No, they haven't. When we've gone a goal down, they haven't looked like wanting to get back into it. And I think this is something I give the lads credit for on the last stream we did against Forest. Every time we conceded, they just thought, okay, fine, we conceded a goal, now let's go again. And today, obviously, we go a goal down so early on, there's so much time to get back into the game. And we wasted no time at all. And in the 18th minute, six or seven minutes later, Cody Gakpo scores, mate. And Gakpo, I put a tweet up at half time. For me, I'm not just talking about his goal or the goals he scored. For me, he's just the most perfect and complete forward we could have got for the system, even more so than Darwin Nunez, Diogo Jota. I think when you're looking at a Jurgen Klopp forward, somebody that, presses, is press resistant, has an amazing first touch, he carries the ball forward, he can strike a ball, he can assist. I genuinely, when I watch Cody Gakpo now, I don't really see a weakness in his game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good because I remember questioning, I think no one in the right mind would have jumped on him after the first few games. But I think I kind of questioned at the time, thinking playing him through the middle seems a bit strange. And, Nunez on the left, where Gakpo's played there his whole career, but it seems to be like an absolute masterstroke that signing, because he's just Roberto Firmino all over, but exactly. even like maybe stronger and maybe a bit more where he comes deeper and can carry the ball because he can shrug off plays a bit more. Maybe you're doing Firmino a disservice there, but Gakpo just looks like he can't get the ball off him because he's so strong and the way he carries the ball is brilliant. I just think he is now the system. For me, the way they found the Firmino replacement like that, it is really credit to them. It looks like a fantastic sign and one for the future for Liverpool, where this team will be built around them. Because, as you said, he can do, some of his goals. Okay, maybe he's not the most consistent of goal scorer at the moment, but the goals, they're all so different and they're all just brilliant in their own ways. So, like tonight's one, it's a brilliant shot. We haven't seen that from him, really. It's just a long shot and it's just good. It's brilliant. Like, out of nothing, bang it in the back of the net. So there's so many different aspects of his game where the system's just around him now. And I think, as I said, it's a masterstroke for signing, really.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And it was another Trent assist. And mm-hmm. people would say, oh, you're going to count a five-yard pass 100%. Yeah. 100%.
It's the least he deserves, really, from that mate, performance tonight.
Arsenal fans used to do this all the time with Mesut Ozil. So this is what I'm going to do now, Trent. So 5 assists in his last 4. We'll get on to Trent a bit later on, because I know you mentioned him earlier. Angel Kelly says, I think Curtis Jones plays like he has welly boots on his feet. I mean, I didn't really get that impression today myself. And...
No, not really. I thought he was all right. Nothing special, but I think with the role, if Robertson goes forward, he has to cover. It's simple as that. So
there is somebody really that special. Did play with wellies on their feet, though. He's the captain for me.
Yeah, and he just, it's one of them again, isn't it? He looks so obviously his death in this role. It shouldn't be there next season, like in that role, squad player.
This is exactly the thing. Like, of course, we can all sit here and criticize John Henderson. It's so easy to do. He is probably the weak link in the team at the minute. But I remember saying this about James Milner all season, and now I'm saying the same thing about Henderson. The reality is we've not planned well enough to be in a situation where Jordan Henderson can play 10, 15 games, come on for the last 20 minutes to shore things up a bit. Well, shore things up, I don't know if he'd do that, but to just see a game out. And, realistically now, Milner should probably be moved on and Henderson could go to that role. And then we have younger midfielders, but obviously that's not happened for whatever reason. And we can only hope that in the summer they do enough business to make sure that we aren't relying on Jordan Henderson for 40 games next season.
Yeah, I mean, a team's like Klopp just persisting with it for the sake of persisting with it, to be honest. He is the captain, so I mean, it's fair enough you're going to play him, but he does seem the weak link in this new system because he's ending up further forward than Gakpo at times. He's ending up on the wing at times. He's never done that in his career, really. So
that's what's confusing about me. We've got Harvey Elliott, who would fit that position like a glove.
It's weird, isn't it? I mean, I think maybe a bit of the thinking is that if Trent does get caught kind of forward in the role, Henderson can just run and, you know, he's a more defensive-minded player than Elliott. But I'm sure Elliott will be able to do that as well because he'll have the hunger and desire of wanting to really put his name, you know, one of the first names of the team sheet, which he was before the system changed. Whether people agree with that or not is a totally another question. But he was always in the starting lineup. So it's a bit of a strange one. I mean, it seems like time for an out to change it now, so I feel like he might just persist with Henderson for the rest of the season, which, look, at Liverpool have won 3 games on the bounce, so you can't really question too much, but he is seemingly the weak link in the system, especially in attacking, in the attacking third. It's a bit like, yeah, we know it, he can't really do it on the wing, so let's just wait and see for the summer, really. Mount is obviously the one for that.
Yeah, well, there's a bit of, seems to be a bit of spanner in the works with that. Pochettino thing going there. Apparently he likes Mount and they want to, you know, use homegrown players more often. And if Mount rates Pochettino as a manager, you probably expect him to stay there now. But, you know, if, you know, they still fail to give him the money he wants and if he still feels like he'd rather play under Klopp, then yeah.
Yeah, it depends on the pitch that Liverpool have given him, really. It depends how much Klopp can get round him and see what happens, really. But every club's also linked with him, so I'm sure he'll be keeping his options open because you would do, wouldn't you, really? Especially if the likes of Bayern Munich are sniffing around after him.
100%. So, yeah, we got into half-time at 1-1. I was relatively happy with the first half. I think any game this season now where we go behind and managed to equalise at half-time or before half-time, I'm relatively happy because I know in the second half, they're probably going to come out with more fight and more desire, especially this side of the season, at least. You know, a goal down or whatever, I was like, you know, forget about it, we'll get a point. But now, especially from the last 3 games, I've seen that sort of fight and grit come back. And I was just looking forward to the second half based on that. Trent was playing well. The Robertson was playing well and the whole attack was doing okay, but then it wasn't until when did Matip score? Was it like 67th minute? Matip scores ahead of me, and there was a lot of chatter on social media before the game, like there always is when the lineup came out. Matip starting,
yeah.
I know you disagreed with it, but you don't go on Twitter and cry about it.
No.
You probably look at it and think, oh, you know what? Fine, I'll give it a go.
Yeah, but,
you know, some people were just outright dismissing it online, and this is why you don't do that, because Joel Matip got man of the match. He was absolutely rock solid today, on the ball, off the ball, scored a header. Happy days, mate.
Yeah, he was solid. I mean, there was one part where Ben Rahman absolutely does Fabinho and him in one little go on the left wing. I just thought, oh god. But apart from that, he was solid. He was, you know, I'll use the word again, but passionate about his defending. It's something we haven't seen, you know, willingness to just do the dirty work. And like, towards the end, he's getting his foot in front of Bowen and he's getting a kick to the ankle and he's in pain, but he's doing it for the 3 points, and it was brilliant. It was really good. Whether Matip stays or not is a different question, but in this summer, but he was solid today, and I think that's all you can ask for, especially in a different role. I don't think Matip really suits that role. That's why I kind of questioned it to myself when I saw the team, because Gomez, we know Gomez is quick. He hasn't been great this season, of course, but because he can cover space and ground quickly, it would have been logical to maybe play him. But Matip's done the job really well, so you can't criticise me. Yeah, he had a good chance to score the winner before the header, didn't he? Where the big scruffy like play in the 6-yard box, but the header's a bullet, absolute bullet, similar to Palace going back to 2017 away. Awful marking, but great header, so you can't say a bad word about his performance, really. I don't think, as rightly so, man of the match, really.
Absolutely, and I think the quality from the set pieces as well at the minute is really good. I saw it the most against Forest, to be fair. Few against Leeds, but Forest, every single set piece went to a Liverpool player. And again, that sounds really silly, but you know, we've seen so many poor set pieces this season, so many terrible deliveries. But the last few games, we seem to have locked it down to a T, really. And I'm really happy with it because, you know, it's bringing the best out of Robertson again. It's bringing the best out of Trent, obviously. And we've got options in the box to score from corners. Like, realistically, our centre-back should all be on about 5 goals minimum a season The amount of chances that we should be able to cause from free kicks and corners is crazy. And I think Virgil, I know, actually, I think it came off a defender. I thought Virgil at the time had a good chance again with his head, but I think it did come off a West Ham defender, to be fair. So I'll let him off with that one. But we make the changes, mate. I did feel like when he took Gakpo off, to be fair, the front three kind of lost the way a bit when Diaz and Nunes came on.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, isn't it? It's I don't want to say worrying, it feels like a bit of a strong term, but Nunes coming on for 15 minutes, I don't want that to be a regular theme because there's a player in there and Liverpool do need to figure out how to get that player. The front three did look a bit, you know, they kind of just been thrown on, which is probably expected when Diaz has been injured. Nunes, you know, he's not stars at the same lineup basically the last three games apart from massive tonight, so a bit rusty maybe, I suppose you can say. Diaz certainly, I think you can say that for, but Nunes, he had a few times on the break and he looked like the ball was getting stuck under his feet, he didn't know what to do. It's just not great. It's kind of going back to maybe the start where you kind of thought, oh, you know, he's got to get used to it, and now we're the back end towards the back end of the season, it's looking the same thing, and it's not brilliant because we all know, we've seen Nunes, he's brilliant. As a player, he can cause chaos and in front of goal. But you give him time to think and time to make a decision, it seems like he can kind of overthink it himself. So, I mean, I'm going off 15 minutes towards the end of the game, which Liverpool looked like they were going to win. And they were relying on the defence a bit more than they really should have done instead of the attack. So we can probably say, okay, you know, he's only getting 2 chances on like a transition. But apart just going off them, it doesn't look great. But nice to see Diaz on. Not brilliant, but, you know, nice little turn in the corner at one point against QFAL, but just getting match fitness for next season is probably the priority for Diaz at this point.
Absolutely, mate. And Liverpool have just put a tweet up about Curtis Jones, boss again tonight. Curtis Jones had a picture of him. What are your thoughts on that, mate? Because obviously, again, he's another young player that's been under a lot of scrutiny.
Yeah.
I've always had a strong opinion on Curtis Jones and the expectations that I think supporters have on his shoulders, because one, he's a local lad, it's always going to be a high expectation there. You know, two, he's a young player. Everyone wants the young players to be as good as Jude Bellingham, which is just not always possible. So I think for me, I've always said that Curtis Jones has a future at this club.
Yeah.
In what capacity, I don't know. But from your perspective, mate, the last few games, Curtis Jones has rightfully kept his place. What are your thoughts on him, mate, in this team and this setup?
The setup, he looks really good. I don't think the standards went particularly high for the midfield this season. So as soon as Jones kind of regained his fitness and was given the nod, I think, you know, you're going to expect good performances where you can sit back and watch and go, you know what, he's actually played well, because some performances in the midfield three when it was just the standard 4-3-3 were not good by any stretch of the imagination. So the fact he's got 3 games on the bounce and realistically should get the whole of the season on the bounce now, I'd imagine, is really positive. The problem is with that is kind of Thiago. Where do you fit him in? He came on today on the right, which seemed a bit weird. Not his role. It's not Henderson's role. I don't think there's any midfielder's role apart from Elliot, but we haven't seen him there, which is strange. Especially with the links with McAllister. Listen, I know McAllister can play the 68 and the 10, but if McAllister is going to play in that left role a bit more than, you know, any other role, I think Jones, maybe it's one of them again where you're going to question his role. But that's going into next season and looking at a possible negative situation. I think he's probably one of the first names on the team sheet now for the rest of this season, where Champions League, maybe a bit too far gone, but there's a fight for European football on the card. So it's a big vote of confidence. And local lad, he's done it before at Liverpool. He's shown glimpses of attacking quality. Now he's showing maturity, you know, covering the fullback when Robinson goes forward. And just, you know, an aura really in that midfield where he's dominating. It helps. It really helps Fabinho, especially, I think. So I do think that not a big, I don't want to say big future, because everyone said that when he scored that goal against Everton, but there's certainly a future at this club for Jones. And I think anyone writing him off is just pure stupid, to be honest. I think it sounds harsh, but I do think it's true.
No, it's not harsh, mate. I 100% agree. If you think he's not good enough to be a regular starter, I understand that. But people, you know, have such, like, I call it clickbaity opinions on social media. Like, they say outrageous shouts, which are just bonkers. Apparently, one lad said that he's top three worst Liverpool players ever. And it's like, if that's honestly your opinion, you must have been supporting Liverpool since 2018. Like, yeah. Let's be honest. So, for me, again, I think there's been a lot of harsh criticism on Curtis Jones. And I like him. I like the lad. I like him as a person. I think he's got great character. Yeah. I don't sound like Brendan Rodgers there, but I think I think there's something about that kid. Where, you know, you can see like that there is that level of like when he's in with the older senior guys, they don't look down to him as like, oh, the kid is he is one of them kind of thing. And you know, he isn't that young now, by the way. Let me make that clear. He's 22, so you kind of do expect a lot from him now. So I think he's delivering, and I think he's answering his critics, because there's been a lot of them. Does this change any plans for the summer? Absolutely not. We still need three centre mids, in my opinion. That has always been the case, and that won't change no matter what happens now with Trent Alexander-Arnold, who we're going to move on to, mate, because I absolutely waxed lyrical about him in the last stream. So I'm just going to ask you if you've got anything to
Absolutely brilliant. I'm loving it. We all know that Trent is this good, and this role, I mean, I don't want to say it's like perfect for him, because the role that won Liverpool the Champions League and the FA Cup, the League Cup and the Premier League was perfect for him. But this just looks like it's taken him to, like, it's rejuvenated him completely. There was one point, it's a tiny little part of the game where Liverpool lose it in the attacking area, and he just wins it back like instantly, and he has a couple of goals. I think it may be Suchek, I might be wrong, but it looks, there's a fire in his belly. Whether you can go back to Xhaka being an absolute fool in that game and possibly even losing the Arsenal the title, you could go as far to say whether that's because of that or the new system. I think it's a bit of both, really, but it just looks like he wants it, and maybe Liverpool as a whole want it more now. As you said, West Ham scored, went ahead, so you know, Liverpool to come back after half time and, you know, win again is really important. And Trent, I think, symbolises that a lot. He seems so much more desired than he was a few weeks ago, when people maybe question his attitude. But maybe he just doesn't want to defend. Listen, if he gets told to defend, you're meant to defend. But he maybe he's just a bit fed up of that, which I suppose you can say, fair enough.
Yeah, but that whole attitude thing for me, I remember sticking up for him at the time, and he's always played like that for me. He's always played like the game's too easy for him. Even when he was getting 15 assists a season, he always played with like a relaxed, laid-back attitude. And I think obviously when it's going good, people don't mind it when he is getting assists, when he is playing well. But obviously when it goes a bit wrong, obviously I think that's when people can have an issue, when they see Trent not really probably doing as much as he should. And look, when we're sensible Liverpool supporters on this channel, I don't have any silly billies on air, but we all knew what Trent was going to do and how he was going to turn up. And, you know, even if, okay, it took him until the end of the season to get back to his best, that's how it's going to be. And this new role, again, nobody knows if this is a permanent thing or if this is what we want to do just until the end of the season. But it certainly confirmed what we probably already know, that Trent Alexander-Arnold is good enough to be as good as anybody in midfield. And he is, you know, three or four games in a row now, he's done that. And, you know, it's just a huge credit to him, credit to Klopp for, you know, putting his neck on the line with that, because he could have easily done it and it not exactly worked, and then he would have the blame for it. But he's done it and it has worked, and we're all absolutely loving Trent right now. You know, he's looking like his old self. He's playing with confidence. He's playing with a smile on his face. He's played a few amazing over-the-top balls again today.
Yeah.
And again, like, we never for once, like, doubted that he'd lost that. He just wasn't really getting the chances to do it before. But, yeah, I love the guy. Got him on my away shirt from last season. Definitely going to be getting him on one for next season as well. listen, he's just amazing. He just is. And anybody in tonight, the world, anybody brilliant watching this show that disagrees, then you're a fool, man. You're honestly. And I'm sorry, I've seen this Wan-Bissaka stuff come up again.
Oh,
I thought we'd stop with this.
Yeah, that is the
biggest. A few slide tackles, nonsense. And apparently he's as good as Trent.
The Wan-Bissaka stuff is awful. I mean, the credit he gets for being some sort of world-class defender baffles me enough anyway, but never mind comparisons to Trent. But that's a whole other topic, isn't it?
Imagine if he played against Vinicius. Well, yeah, you will have to imagine it because you're not getting to that Super Cup final, which you probably thought you were going to get to. So you will have to imagine it. But anyway, let's forget about them. Where was we? Yeah, let's just talk about the next game. But first of all, we've got Ragnar Klavan in the building, famous for the Ragnar Klavan turn. Who was that against, by the way? Remember who that was against? If anybody knows,
it was a couple of games, wasn't it? You don't know a few times. Yeah. I just remember the header against Burnley.
Exactly. Oh, the lock and assist.
Yeah.
Yes, that iconic moment. That I remember there was a tweet from the FPL account. Goal, Ragnar Klavan, assist, lob. And
I think it was not soon after Liverpool signed Van Dijk as well. It was poetry, yeah. Really.
Absolute quality. Next game, Tottenham, mate, Sunday. We're back in action in just a few days. But I believe it's now 3 home games for Liverpool in a row. So how massive is that for us, mate, in this running?
Well, yeah, it's helpful. But to be honest, Liverpool have shown a bit of away form, dare I say it. You know, last two wins, Leeds and tonight. So, you know, I don't think maybe that should be too much of an issue. But it's nice to have 3 home games and about. Whether it makes any sort of difference, I think Liverpool just have to wait and see with other results. Obviously, massive game. Massive couple of games tomorrow night with Everton and Newcastle and United, Tottenham. I don't want to say it's all gone top four, but it does seem that way. But, you know, Liverpool have to just have the fingers and toes crossed for a couple of lucky results, really. But Tottenham on Sunday, I think we'll have to wait and see for Tottenham's reaction after that Newcastle game tomorrow night. But Liverpool normally do Tottenham. So I'd be surprised. Well, apart from that season when they needed it for the league. But
yeah.
Sorry for bringing that one up, but yeah, I would anticipate a win. It'd be nice to see Trent's role again, because a big team, he's done it against Arsenal, you know, it's one of the so-called big six. It'd be nice to see how he develops and, you know, how the role kind of gets better for him, or maybe even worse. You know, it's nice to see how it works out against one of the big teams.
Yeah, 100%. Look, I'm confident for Tottenham. From what I've seen of them, mate, there's no reason to be. Obviously, they've got individual brilliance that there's, you know, King could just do something mad, which he has done a few times against us in the past. But apart from him, I'm not really bothered about the team.
Yeah.
Obviously, Richarlison, if he gets on the pitch, will probably have the bit between his teeth. I'm confident. Like you say, mate, 3 home games in a row. Top four, am I thinking of it like as a possibility? No. But all we can really hope now is just keep ticking off these wins one by one. Yeah. And in a few weeks' time, May the 28th, we look at the table and see where we are. And if it's Thursday nights, so be it. That's what we deserve. Mm-hmm. If it's Champions League, absolutely happy days. But it probably will be Europa League. I think, you know, there was a doubt whether it would be Europa League or Conference League at one point, but I think we're all pretty certain it's going to be Europa League minimum now, right?
Yeah, well, especially with Brighton losing tonight. Villa, yeah. I think Liverpool got a game in hand in Villa. I might be wrong with that. We'll have to double check. Yeah. Europa teams, I mean, yeah, I don't really have any Liverpool. Have you said they deserve it? There's no, you know, you can't get past that. If they do finish there, you can't really say, because Liverpool have been bad this season, so like as simple as that, they have been. I'm sure every single one of them would go, yeah, you know what, you're right, because they haven't been good. Thursday nights, we've seen it before under Klopp, albeit his first half of the season. We've seen some of the greatest nights at Anfield in that competition under Klopp,
mate.
Absolutely. So we could see it again. United, Dortmund, Villarreal, some of the great.
Coutinho goal where he dinks De Gea is one of my favourite goals.
Unbelievable games. Like,
probably top five.
Yeah, Griffin games. So Liverpool have a chance to like alternate the team as well with the group stages. So it could even, you know, it's maybe stretching a little bit, but it could even tempt Kelleher to stay, really. If you tell Kelleher you get every single one of them European games, maybe. They keep them, but if they get a 30 million bid, you never know. But it's just one of them where it keeps everyone kind of happy. I mean, I'm looking at the positives. You want to be in the Champions League, but Thursday nights aren't, you know, it's not the end of the world, and it could go on to deliver some fantastic nights at Anfield yet again in European football. So,
and it's only trophy Klopp's not won as well.
Yeah,
I'm not saying I want to be in it, win it. Yeah,
but if you're in it, go and win it. If you're in it, go and win it.
Conference League as well, though.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
we'll see.
absolutely, mate. But I think we're gonna wrap up there tonight, guys. I think we're gonna leave it short and sweet. You know, it's getting on a bit. We are gonna try and do them after the games whenever we can. But as you can see, there's no thumbnail. It's sometimes hard to get everything prepared for straight after a game. But make sure you stick around, guys, because next season we're going to be doing preview streams as well for games. We're going to try and get some fans on from other clubs to join us and discuss the upcoming fixtures. We're just going to try to get more and more content out. We've struggled a bit at times this season, just because everyone's got different things going on. But we appreciate all the support, all the likes, all the subscriptions. You know, we're going to try and get to a K as soon as we can. We're going to try and get more guests on the show. Thank you guys for commenting. Ragnar Clavin, Jerry Byrne, Big John, Angel Kelly and Eunice, massive appreciation to you all. Anybody who's watching on the replay or anybody who's watching that hasn't commented, massive appreciation to you guys as well. So take care, guys, and we'll see you after the top.
See you all.
Sports Social Podcast Network.